Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Amen, amen. Very good morning to all of you, and welcome back to Church of Our Savior. On behalf of the church, we'd like to welcome the guests. My name is Daniel, as pastor of the church. We are very happy to have you here. If you're not regularly worshipping somewhere, feel free to join us at any of our services on Saturdays, 3:30, as well as two services on Sunday. Okay, we're happy to have you here. And just make yourself at home. Okay, we are very ordinary people. Earlier on, someone came up and had a vision during the worship and said that soon after we began worship, we saw a throne ablaze with His glorious, splendor, raised high above for a long time. At one point, I saw the rays of His holy presence flowing from His throne towards a stream of glory. After a long time, I saw angels with boxes of red and gold. I think this represents the healing and deposits into the hearts of many. You know, really, I think we thank the team for leading us in worship, and I do feel that God is doing something in our midst for us today. So we want to thank God for that. You know, this is the beginning of year. Time has passed so quickly. We're into the third week already, right? And we have already talked about crossing the Jordan. We have talked about, you know, consecrating ourselves. And I hope that you're on track with this whole thing, because, you know, there are things that we have committed ourselves to doing, such as to read the Bible every day. Okay? Have you done it? Okay, turn to your neighbor and ask them, have you done it? Right? So, I don't know. You should be, if you are in Genesis 20 something, you're good. Alright? If not, you gotta pick up your Bible. You know, Joshua was told that this book of the law, you shall meditate on it day and night. Yes, day and night. So all of you, right, day and night, you gotta be reading the Word of God, because the Word of God is good for you. Amen? Amen? Turn to your other neighbor and say, the Word of God is good for you. Now, we also said that we wanted to cultivate an attitude of thanksgiving, right? So this morning, as I woke up and left the house, you know, I stepped out of the house, closed the door, and lo and behold, you know, I just hit by this crisp, cool, early morning air, okay? I don't know whether your air is the same as my air, but it was glorious. The sky was blue. I was thinking, wow, this is so beautiful, right? This reminds me of, you know, New Zealand, right? So, except that they have mountains, we've got HDB buildings. But, you know, I thank God for that. I think it's wonderful. So, I don't know. Okay, maybe you take 10 seconds and just think for a while. What do you thank God for today? 10 seconds. Sorry, just think about it. Is there something that you have forgotten to thank God for? I thank God for the weather. I think it's a beautiful day. I thank God for my friends here. You know, think about something, all right? And you thank God today. And we want to do this every day because we are cultivating it. And of course, not just that, also evangelism. We want to be evangelizing every day, right? So today is the 18th. By right, there should be 18 people saved already, right? Maybe on the way, like 18% saved, all right? So we really need to be continually working at these things, all right? Anyway, so today we are looking at, this monitor is a bit loud, so the feedback is coming here, alright. So, today we are looking at Joshua, and because it's the beginning of year, you know, I don't normally do PowerPoints, right? But just because it's the beginning of year, I did PowerPoint for all of you, so maybe you can have the PowerPoint up. And it's a rare thing, right? Okay, look, that's lovely. That is what Moses saw when he was on top of Pisgah, or Mount Nebo, overlooking the Jordan Valley into the Promised Land. Can we have the next? Just click twice more, right? And click again. Yes, that's right. You can see as he looked from the south, you know, all the way as he scans across the horizon to the north. That's kind of what he saw, right? The land flowing with milk and honey. I don't think the road was there, but you know, the rest of it, I guess, looked pretty much like that. When you go to the Middle East, things don't seem to change very much for a very, 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 very long time, right? So they looked at all of this. And they knew that God had promised them this land. But here's the thing. They also knew that they were going to have to fight for it. Isn't that interesting? That's an interesting thought for me. Because, you know, sometimes God can have something promised to you. In fact, God said, everywhere where the soles of your feet will step on, I have given to you and your children. Right? That's a promise. I mean, it's a promise from God. So, God says, you know, this is the land that I'm giving to you. But hey, you got to fight for it. You have to fight for it. First of all, you have to cross the Jordan, alright? You come up to the Jordan, you have to find some way of getting across the Jordans, and then you will have to begin to fight for the land. And you know, so oftentimes we wonder, why do I have to fight for what is promised to me? I'll tell you why you have to fight for it. The reason why we have to fight for it is because the enemy is not going to concede one inch to you without a fight. You realize that, right? You realize the enemy wants to take, steal, kill and destroy. It's not going to let you just walk in there and take what God is giving you. They will fight you. And so you have to fight. You have to be strong, you have to be bold, and you have to be courageous. So are you ready to fight? Amen? You not fight one another, huh? Fight for your promise. Fight for what God has given to you, right? So today, this is what we want to be looking at. Can we have the next slide? Okay, so they started out, can we click one time? That's right. Okay, so they started out somewhere there. Okay, that place is called Abel Shittim. You find that in Joshua chapter 2. And Joshua now sends spies into the land. Now, if you take time to study it, and I'll probably do an extra video and put it on a website, right? You're covering some of the things that I didn't cover. But, you know, if you take time to study this, there's so many parallels, you know, Red Sea, River Jordan, and all these other things going on there, right? And then, in the first instance, 40 years ago, they sent some spies into the land. How many spies did they send? 12, right? 12 spies. Now, out of those 12 spies, you know, how many came back with a good report? 2, right? So, when it came to Joshua's turn, he also sent spies in the land, but he's smart. He didn't send 12, he sent 2 only, right? Probably the 2 that will bring back a good report. He sent 12 from there, across the river, click one time, next. Yeah, over to that place called Gilgal, right? And they all crossed over to Gilgal, to spy on the land, right? Then Jericho and all else. And over there, they circumcised themselves. God said, you know, I have removed, I've rolled away the reproach of Israel. Because of that, this place will be called Gilgal, right? And then click one more time, next. Then afterwards, they come up to Jericho. Today, we are talking about Jericho. Can we have the next slide, please? Okay, now this is a aerial photo of Jericho, the Tel es-Sultan, alright? Tel is really means a mound. Now, that bit in the middle there, like that looks like a lump of dough, right? That's ancient Jericho. Now you think about it, look carefully, right? It's not very big. It's, I guess, 1-2 football fields, maybe slightly bigger, right? But in those days, this was considered a large city. Because, you know, it's a fortified city. Not like, because nowadays when we think about cities, you're thinking about like New York, you're thinking of just huge, massive cities. Back in those days, it wasn't like that, right? Everything was a lot smaller, right? And if they had McDonald's, it would be like really, really small back in those days, okay? So now, we have supersized cities now. Back in those days, this was it. And you can notice how small it actually is. It's really not all that big by modern standards. Okay, next. Okay, so today we're going to talk about 6 principles about how we can claim God's promises for you. Out of the book of Joshua, there are some principles that help you claim what God has for you, alright? So I want to begin by looking at Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13. These are fascinating verses. 5, verse 13, 14, and 15. These 3 verses, I'm going to just start here, right? I'm going to read verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. Everyone say Jericho. Okay, he was by Jericho. That he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take the sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Friends, just in these 3 verses alone, we find that there are so many important lessons about how we can possess the land and take hold of God's promises for you. The first thing I want you to notice was, he came up to that place and he sees this man, right? His name is Sar-Seva Yehovah, which means the prince of the armies of the Lord. Or, you know, some translations call it commander, some translations calls it captain, right? But basically, this is the prince of the armies of the Lord. And what does he have in his hand? He has a drawn sword in his hand. You know, some years back after the Saturday service, somebody came up to me and said, Pastor, you know, during the sermon and service, I saw there was a great big angel standing back there with a drawn sword. You know, to be honest, I didn't think a whole lot about that back in those days, alright? Okay, we got angel, that's great, right? He's got a sword, didn't cut me down, that's also good, right? So, now as I read Joshua, I was thinking, well, what is this about a drawn sword anyway? And then it came to me. It hit me. You see, this angel of the Lord, if you like, this commander of the Lord's army with a drawn sword, for me, is the readiness of God to perform His promises. Are you with me? God is ready. His promise was to get rid of all these people from the land, lead them into victorious battle. And this is God standing ready to perform the army of the Lord. I think that's great because, you see, God is always ready to perform His promises in our life. Do you realize that? But so many times we as Christians have this idea that God is this reluctant God. You know, you just really persuade God to do something for you. Actually, the truth couldn't be further from that, right? Because God is always ready to perform a promise for us. And today, while you're here, you know what? God is ready. He has His sword drawn to perform a promise for you. Do you believe that? For you. He's ready. He's not somewhere. God is not sleeping, right? God, by the way, I'm here already. You know, when are you showing up? No, He's already there, right? But here's the thing. Okay, here's the interesting part. That part is interesting, but what is truly interesting is this. Where did Joshua meet with this captain of the Lord's army? Where do you suppose he met him? Where? In? You said it just now. In Jericho. In Jericho. And I think that's a spiritual principle here that really, really, you know, we can easily apply in our lives. Here's the thing. God did not meet with Joshua in Gilgal. He did not meet with him in Abel Shittim. He did not meet with Joshua on Mount Nebo or anywhere else. He met with Joshua at Jericho. In other words, the place where your faith meets your mountain, your Jericho, is the place where God meets with you. Ready to perform His promise. Are you with me? Right? And you look throughout the Old Testament history, this has always been the case. Where did God meet with Moses? At the Red Sea. Right? He didn't have a solution before that. Until he got right up to the Red Sea and he sees the army coming, that is where God shows up and says to Moses, this is what you will do. Right? We think about Abraham. Where did God meet with him? Well, when he raised up his knife, when he was about to face his own great mountain that's giving up of his son, then God shows up, you know, and says, you know, look, there's a lamb in the bush, right? God meets with us at the confluence, at the point where your faith meets with your Jericho. And you know why many people don't meet with God, right? Because they don't go to Jericho. Because most of us are running away from Jericho. Maybe we're waiting. We're waiting in Gilgal. Perhaps we're waiting in Abel Shittim. We're sitting and, okay, God, you know, well, you know, why don't you show up and then we'll go? No, you got it all wrong. Okay? It doesn't work like this with God. With God, you show up first. Because God is already there. Right? You show up first. So today, here's this. You know, if you don't remember anything else about claiming God's promises for you in your life, here's the thing that you need to remember. You need to show up in faith. You need to show up in faith. And the reason why I think most Christians, you know, don't experience the promises and breakthrough of God in their lives is because they simply don't show up. They're somewhere else. They're waiting. They're not showing up. So today, you have to show up. I'm glad you showed up this morning, alright? Because, you know, this is such a key point that if you don't get this point, the rest of the points are meaningless, right? You don't have to talk about anything else. You're still at home sleeping, right? So showing up is important, right? So turn to your other neighbor and say, you know, I'm glad you showed up. Okay? Showing up is a very important principle in faith. So, you know, I believe that God could do so much more for us because He is standing wherever your Jerichos may be. God is standing with His sword drawn. The problem is not God. The problem is not God. God is ready. The problem is so often that we don't show up in faith. Today, just think about this. What is your Jericho? Or what are your Jerichos? For some of you, what are your Jerichos? What are the places where today, the key to that breakthrough is contingent upon you showing up in that place? Okay, coming to church is one thing, alright? But you have to show up at your Jericho. You have to confront that thing. Now think about this for a second, right? Joshua had never done this before. This was the first city, right? I mean, he has not conducted campaigns like this before. He's not fought fortified cities like this before. This was his first time. So Joshua probably went there and thought, you know, I really don't know what to do. How do I lead these people against this fortified city? How are we going to get? He doesn't know any of these things, right? He does not have the answers first. And that's the thing with God. You don't have to have all the answers. You just need to show up and you just need to trust God, right? You don't have to have. So some of you today, maybe you're not doing something because you think, God, I'm not doing this because I don't have all the answers yet, right? Well, I want to encourage you, right? Show up. You know, I just came back from Malacca. We had a pastor's conference there, right? And it was a wonderful conference. All these pastors get together and eat, you know. Not just eat, love. I mean, we pray and we do other things. But, you know, it was a great time. And one of the things that happened there was we had some people give testimonies. And this guy had come all the way from Singapore to Malacca to give a testimony. His name was Lucas Chow. Some of you may know him. He was an ex-CEO of Singtel. And then after that, he was CEO of MediaCorp. Now he's, you know, CEO of, group CEO of Far East Orchard and things like that, right? Very, very accomplished and humble Christian. And he had come up to share about what God was doing in his life and, you know, how he was being used in the marketplace. And then he says, you know, towards the end, he says, you know, by the way, you know, actually I'm going blind in my right eye, okay? And he was supposed to go for an operation, he had an eye problem. But he chose to come to the place to share because he felt that that's what God wanted him to do. So he came all the way to Malacca by coach. Okay, obviously he can't drive, but he came all the way by coach. And then he stayed the whole time through and he went back to have his operation. And just, on Friday night, I got a text from people who were in touch with him. And Lucas just sent a message and said that, you know what, I came back and went for the eye operation. And the doctor said that, he's not going to operate on him because the eye was getting better. You know? I mean, sometimes, amen, praise God, you know. I thank God for people like him, alright? But the lesson that you want to learn is, this is not just because Lucas is some fantastic guy, alright? He is. But God could do this to you in your life, provided you decide to show up first in faith. That is the key, right? Because, you know, when we go to country, I've said this before, that faith is the currency of heaven, right? So you go to the United States, you use the US dollar. When you go to God, what do you use? You use faith. With faith, you can claim the promises of God for your life. So today, you know, I'm just seeing that God has so many things in your life. The potential is there. God is standing, waiting for a long time with sword in his hand. Waiting, just waiting for you to show up. Coming to church is great. Not just coming to church, but to show up. Alright? So, this is such a key lesson, right? So, here we have Joshua now, coming up to a place, and he says, you know, tell me what to do. Okay, that's really the second point. The second point is, taking instructions, or obeying the instructions of God. Obeying the instructions of God, right? When he comes up, the angel begins to tell him what to do. You read that in verse, let me just read from chapter 6, verse 1, 2, and downwards, right? Now Jericho was securely shut up because the children of Israel, none went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hands, its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once, this you shall do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns. Okay, these trumpets of ram's horn is interesting because, you know, in Hebrew it's the shofarot, which means the plural of shofar. The shofarot, yovelim, the shofars of Jubilee, right? Before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the walls of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up, every man straight up before him. Okay, how many times did they march around the Jericho? 13 times, right? First 6 days, one time each, right? And then last day, they did 7 times. So, you know, 7 plus 6, 13, right? So next time people ask you, I just want to see whether you're paying attention or not, right? Because I know some people just, okay, now, what is the point with this? What is the lesson, the key point that we are learning from this? The key point is that God gives instruction, we follow instructions. It's very simple, right? Because, you know, when the angel appeared before Joshua, the question that Joshua had in mind was, are you for us or are you against us? Right? But what was the answer? The answer is, no, I'm the commander of the Lord's army. It's not about whether God is for you or whether God is against you. The question really is, are you for God? Are you following God? He is the commander. But you know, too many Christians don't understand this. You know, they're so happy when God shows up. They go to a church meeting and God shows up and they say, Lord, I'm so glad you showed up. Ah, now that you're here, I've got all these things that I wanted to tell you to do for me. Right? So God, could you please take notes, you know? Here are all these things. Please do this, do this, do this, do this. You know, we don't give God instructions. He is the commander of the Lord's army. We take instructions from God. Do you agree? Right? We take, so sometimes we have to resist ourselves, in spite of ourselves, because we like to tell people what to do, But when it comes to God, you know, you got to remember, you take instructions from God. So, Joshua was there. He realizes, oh, okay, this is the prince of God's armies. I'm taking instructions. He bows down before, tell me what to do. Here are his instructions, right? These instructions to march around the city, you know, blow trumpets and all that and shout on the last day. Okay, so this is just a point that I think we all need to, when you come to God, be sure you're in a posture of listening, ready to obey God, okay? Obedience is always important. So pray to God. Seek out God's will for your life. Don't just go out willy-nilly, do whatever you want to do. You know, you can do whatever you want to do. It's good exercise sometimes, but it may not necessarily come to fruition. God may not necessarily bless everything that you do, right? But when you align yourself with God, when you obey God, then there you'll find the power of God to accomplish whatever He wants to do. All right. So that's the second thing, right? Now, if you read on, verse 6, Joshua the son of Nun then called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and say to seven priests, let the seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horn before the Ark of the Lord. Verse 7. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horn before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed him. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. You know, there's a procession. Now these people were ready, okay? They had, you know, they had heard the instructions. Now they were going to obey. Now here was the procession, okay? The procession goes like this. What's in front of the procession? Okay, this is all testing, see whether you're listening or not, right? What's in front?
I don't know, trumpets, no? Rams.
No rams, okay, right? You had armed men in front, okay? Because, you know, for the longest time, I thought it was always the ark that went first. Actually, you read really carefully, right? Verse 7, 8. It says, the armed men went before. The mighty men who were armed, all right? And I think today the church needs this kind of people. People who are prepared to go and prepare the way for God's glory. Prepare the way for God's presence. Men who are courageous, and women also who are courageous and dare to go. Now, most people don't want to go in front. I mean, just look at our seating arrangement, right? We've got nice chairs in front, but nobody wants to sit. Everyone go all the way back to those plastic chairs at the back. I don't know what's I know one of these weeks I'm going to set the stage. I'll start preaching from the back there. Everyone will come back front here. Okay, it's just like, okay? But the reason why people don't go in front, because in front is dangerous. Okay? I assure you my saliva range is not that powerful, right? But we go there because we think the front is dangerous. When you go to front, you're the first to get hit by the arrows. Right? But you know what? Be bold and courageous. How can you be bold and courageous if you're going to be confronting? Well, I think the key to this boldness and courageous and readiness has to do with understanding that you're not just doing this for yourself. You're doing this for God's kingdom. If it's all about yourself, then go all the way to the back. That's the safest place, right? But if you're doing it for God, then you go up front in boldness and courage. And I think the church needs men and women who are not afraid to be a trailblazer, to go out and do something that no one else has done for God's glory, right? We need people like this. We cannot have, you know, timid Christians. We need bold and courageous Christians, all right? So we have people who are ready to go. And you know, when you see the commander draw his sword, what do you think the rest of the army should do? They should draw their sword too, correct? Because you are following the commander. Commander is ready, everyone else is ready. So we too are called to stand with our swords drawn, ready for the battle, Alright? Ready for the battle. Actually, there's a good verse that I didn't read in the previous services in Psalms 110, talking about the day of Messiah's reign. It says in verse 3, your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. And in some translations, it says your troops will be ready in the day of battle. Right? And I trust that our congregation here will be ready in the day of battle. Our swords will be drawn just as our commander has his sword drawn. We will be ready. Right? And then in verse 10, now Joshua gives them another very peculiar instruction. Verse 10, right? Joshua had commanded the people saying this, alright, listen carefully. He says, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed from your mouth. Shout until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. Wow. Do you realize what Joshua is saying, right? Joshua is basically saying, no talking. For all these 7 days that you do it, until the final shout, no talking at all. Why is Joshua doing this? What is a very strange thing to do, isn't it? I mean, see, thousands of men all walking around doing sign language. Keep in mind, those days they didn't have texting, right? No telephone. Never mind, I don't talk. Never mind, it's just the text, right? You can't do that. They were all just keeping quiet all day, all night, until the seventh day. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because there's actually a really important spiritual principle here. And this is something I think it applies to many of us, all right? A key spiritual principle. Because he didn't want them to complain. That was it. He didn't want them. You know why? You might think, well, just complain on it. Well, let me tell you. The last time they complained, God nearly killed all of them. Remember? Right? Seriously, they were complaining about the man of God. So, you know, I'm going to kill all of you. Right? But Moses in this complaining. Most of us don't realize how much of a stumbling block this is to God's promises in your life. That's not just talking about the words that you could say out, but it is the attitude of complaining. Right? So you may tape your mouth up, but you heart can still be complaining, huh? You know that, right? But some of us are, you know, no, it's okay, I forgive you, but inside, you know, oh man. Oh. So, you know, when you allow this negativeness to fester in you, then what you're really saying is you don't trust God. When they complained against Moses and Aaron, God told them, you know, Moses, it's not you. It's me that they're complaining about, right? That's what God told them. So today, I want to ask you, you know, if you want, do you want God's promises in your life? Yeah? Okay, if you want that, then you have to check what kind of attitude you have. Are you the sort of person, because I know there are some people that I met with, the moment they open their mouth, the first word that comes out is no. Right? And you know what? We are trained from very young. You know this, all these babies, usually the first word they know how to say is no. Come and eat, no. Right? Come and bed, no. Rarely you hear they say yes. I don't we are trained to say no since young, right? Maybe we grew up, you know, with this whole idea of naysayers. That's why we are, you know, so good at complaining. Well, you know what? With God, we are commanded, we are told and encouraged to count the blessings. Not count the problems, not count the, you know, the things that go wrong, not count the curses, to count God's blessing, to remember His goodness, to remember what He has done for us. And so, if today you find yourself, okay, now you have to judge yourself very carefully. But sometimes it's hard to see because, you know, I meet people who complain a lot, nah, and they think they don't complain. But everyone else knows, okay? So I say that you look in the mirror hard and judge yourself. If you find yourself predominantly negative, no lah, let's go out, no lah, it will rain, you know. Let's try this, no lah, it will be too difficult. No lah, this will, if you are a chronic naysayer, I want to suggest to you that, you know, you need to train your heart. You need to train, discipline your heart not to complain. You know, Joshua said, if you've got nothing good to say, don't say anything. Just keep quiet. Because if you allow expression, voice to all that negativity, then you're helping the accuser. You know, Satan is called the accuser. You know that, right? The word Satan or Satan in Hebrew means the accuser. You know, we don't need more help. He doesn't need your help to accuse more things, huh? Right? You want, you help God to speak up the praises of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Yeah. So, check your attitude because most people think it's just a small thing. I'm just giving feedback. Okay? Negative feedback. I'm just giving feedback. You know what? These little things can become the very problem why you didn't enter into God's promise. Why you cannot claim God's promises for yourself. And it was serious enough that lives were lost because of this bad habit. So I want to tell you, in this year of Jubilee, you know, you want to stamp out complaining from your life. Rather, you want to look to God and say, God, I trust you. All right? It may not look right, but I trust you. It may not be comfortable, but I trust you that you are in control. When you do that, you know, God will perform His promises for you. Amen? Amen? So, don't complain, all right? Turn to your neighbor and say, don't complain. Okay, so where are we now? Okay, I kind of lost track of where I am now. Okay, if you look down some more, okay, you just look at verse 12. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, right? Early in the morning, okay, not late at night. Verse 15, so it came, this was probably the second day, right? If you look at verse 6, immediately after he received the instruction, he told the priest, guys, we're going right now. You read carefully, that's what happened, right? Angel speaks to him up to verse 5. Verse 6, Joshua tells the priest, guys, take up the ark, let us go immediately, right? And then now, the next day, second day, verse 12, early in the morning. And then verse 15, so it came to pass on the seventh day, they rose early about the dawning of day and marched around the city seven times. Early, when the sun just rose. What do these verses tell us? Well, a couple of things I want you to keep in mind. When the instruction was given to Joshua to march around this land, do you notice that there was no stipulation as to when they were to do this marching? They could do it in the morning, they could do it in the afternoon, they could probably do it in the evening or even at night, right? No stipulation was given. But Joshua decided to do it in the morning. First thing in the day. Immediately. I want to suggest to you that herein lies a very important principle. That when you want to obey God as soon as is humanly possible. As soon as you possibly can. ASAP. What does ASP stand for? As soon as possible. Okay. For some Christians, ASP stands for after September, April possibly. Right? But, you know, if you want to obey God immediately. And look at Joshua. He did it the first thing he possibly could. I mean, he could, you know, say, well, let's do it in the evening after we're rested and eaten, you know, when we're not so hungry, maybe after we have breakfast, right? Let's do it when we are more comfortable. And no. Why? Because in Joshua's mind, he was actually very eager to obey God. He wanted to do what God wants him to do first. So now today, if you had come to church today, and in the course of this service, God had laid upon your heart, this is your Jericho. You need to show up this. I want to tell you, the minute the service is over, out the door, okay, go do whatever it is God tells you to do. Don't wait. Why are you waiting anyway, right? Don't wait. If God tells you to do something, follow God's timing. At that point, he tells you to do it, do it, right? So, do it as soon as you possibly can. And Joshua did exactly that. Every day, the first thing he gets up in the day, you know, to be honest, I'm not a morning person. I have to wake up early for a lot of reasons. But, you know, if I could, I'd rather not wake up in the morning. I'd rather, you know, stay up later at night. But, you know, so many times, if God calls us to do something, we just have to, you know, deny our flesh and do the thing God wants you to do. And in that obedience, okay, in that attitude of readiness, in that attitude of following God immediately, in that attitude will come victory. Alright? So they did it. They marched around the city, right? By the way, the complaining, there are many reasons to complain now, alright? I forgot to mention just now. You know, can we have that picture again, of that, this one. You see, this was a small place. You look at it, you think about it, you could probably walk around it in less than an hour. Isn't that right? Those little houses on the left, those are houses. These are not part of ancient Jericho. This is like newer Jericho. But up just that lump of thing, you could probably walk around it in less than an hour, right? You jog, maybe you can do 20 minutes. Okay, maybe for me, 40 minutes, right? Some of you who are fit can do it in a very short while. You got thousands of men now, all queuing up in the morning, early in the morning. Some of them probably haven't brushed their teeth yet. They don't brush their teeth. Anyway, probably have their morning breath, right? Thousands of men with morning breath, all queuing up. It's a traffic jam. It's a crowd out there. It's very congested. Can you imagine what it's like? If you cannot, just think about MRT in the morning, right? When you're going to work, you know, all these people are all just jamming up there. Yeah, and they were standing there, and Joshua said, okay, start marching, and you kind of march, and the guy in front of you is a bit slow, and the guy behind you is keep poking you, stepping on your sand. That's the 10th time you step on my sandal already. But just as you're about to complain, you remember, oh, don't say anything. Right? Okay, they do this one time. One time. The Bible says, after they did it, they went back and lodged for the rest of the day. Right? So it probably takes them 1.5 hours for so many thousand people to get it done. What do they do the rest of the day? Nothing. Nothing. It's just, people can't talk, right? They're probably thinking to themselves, what on earth is Joshua thinking? Why aren't we doing something? We're just sitting here doing nothing. You know what? We Singaporeans can totally relate to that problem, can't we? Right? Because we are a nation of ADHD people. We all can't sit still. Always got to do something, got to do something. But sometimes, you don't have to do anything. You have to follow God's timing. You understand? You don't have to, you know, in Chinese, there's a 成语. I like this 成语. Now I'm trying to memorize it. 拔苗助长. Okay, what that means is quite literally. It means you pull out the little shoot to see how much it's grown, right? And sometimes you keep pulling it out. It won't grow, you know, it will die. And sometimes with God's plan in our lives, you just also have to learn to be patient. So timing is not just charging. Sometimes the timing is waiting. And some of us, we really got to get that down, right? Don't do anything when God don't tell you to do anything. I'll just go out and try to do left, right, and center. You mess up the whole thing, all right? So, they will do it. Now, first day, they do this one time. Okay? What do you suppose the people in the city will be doing? Oh, they will be up in the walls. They will be looking at you. What's all these guys doing? They're marching around the city, right? Second day, what do you think? Second day, they'll come prepared. They bring rotten fruits, right? They bring stones and rocks and water. And as these men march around, they will shower you with blessings, you know, with all kinds of, they throw all these things down at you. Now imagine you're one of thousands of the men come, right? You're marching, it's so crowded, thousands of them going around, and then you see a rotten tomato flying at you, right? You want to see them, but you can't see them because there's no place to see them. Bam! Okay, at that moment, you want to complain. Ayah! Then you open your mouth, okay, you decide, you know, don't open your mouth better, right? More tomatoes may be coming, but you know, you don't complain. So, you go down, second day, third day, fourth day. Now, if you are a typical Singaporean, by fourth day, you're thinking, we need to re-elect the government, you know. We do this thing so many times, there's no results. 4 days already, we've been doing this silly thing, right? And then we spend the whole day sitting around siesta, and we can't talk, right? 5 days, 6 days. I tell you, 6 days, guaranteed, they have a lot of complaints all stored up, but they just can't let it out, you know, it's like constipated like that, right? Cannot come out. And then, to make it worse, on the seventh day, they got to do it 7 times. Can you just imagine that? One time not enough, now we go to 7 times. Finally, when they shout, I don't know what they shouted, boy. Ayo, Joshua! Whatever it is. Right, but you know what? God came through. Sometimes discipline is important in our life, right? Very important. Okay, I just want to put that out to you, because I think it's important that when you come to God, and you want to take the promises of God, your attitude is so important. And the lessons that we learn from here can help each of us be more successful, right? In our own campaigns in our life, okay? Last of all, after the whole thing, the wall came down and everything, right? It says in verse 18, and you, by all means, abstain from the... Okay, let me just read from verse 17. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are in her house, with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold, the vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Right? The last thing I really want to remind us, and of course there are many lessons, but the last thing I want to remind us, the principle here is that remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. You know, when I was young, my family, we were non-religious, we were free thinkers, right? And, you know, we don't normally go to temples or churches or anything. But there was a time, certain times of the year, basically before major exams, and suddenly our whole family would go to church, Catholic church, right? I don't know why, right? So, I was very young, I was just like really short, very bad. And I'm still short, but you know, I was like a lot shorter back then, right? So, we would go to church, and I was like so shocked, I said, what's this place? And everyone is dipping their hand into this like bowl of water and then they're doing this and all that, right? It's Catholic church. Once or twice a year, my parents will bring us all to church because exams are coming, right? But here's the interesting thing. I never remember any time when after we got results, we went to church. I don't remember even one time, right? And by the way, my sister got a lot of good grades, right? So obviously that holy water thing worked so well. She got 12 A's, you know. So, but I don't remember that after that we went to church, right? Now here's the thing. A lot of Christians are the same. You know, when you are in need, when you're up against your Jericho, your giants are marching around you, the flood waters come, you pray and fast, you know, come to Lord, Lord, please do this, please do that. You know what? After the thing is over, suddenly, don't know what happened, right? People are gone. Well, you know, here, Joshua reminds the people, remember, when the day of victory comes, abstain from these things, remember the Lord, give to God what belongs to God, right? Give to God what belongs to God. So that's really the last thing. So six things that we have heard today. You know, faith. Right? Show up. Show up in faith. So today, when you step out this door, I want you to think about where God wants you to show up. Because that Sah Seva, Yehovah, Sah means prince, right? Seva is the host. Sah Seva, Yehovah is having his sword out. He's waiting for you. Your promise. Right? To perform your promise somewhere. I don't know where your Jericho is, but you, when you step out of this door, you think about going to that Jericho. You think about that, right? Obedience. Take instructions from God. Follow God's instructions. The third thing is to be courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. No one's done it before. It's okay, right? Don't be afraid. Be courageous. Be ready, okay? Just as the commander is ready, you also have your sword drawn. Be ready. Go in front. This whole thing is not just about you. It's about God's kingdom, right? And then discipline. Particularly with our mouth, you know. They say life and death are in the power of the tongue, right? So, you know, don't give yourself to negativity. Don't, you know, adopt an attitude of complaining, but give thanks always. Give thanks always, alright? So have that discipline in your life. Timing. God's timing. When God asks you to do something, do it as soon as you possibly can. Humanly possible, alright? Do it as soon as you can. But then when God says, wait, then you just wait lah. Right? You don't go run around, you know, like a headless chicken, right? And last of all, remember God. Remember God. Amen? Amen? Okay, so the first thing, of all this list, the first thing is to show up. You have to show up. Don't be missing, alright? You have to show up. We'll close our eyes as we pray. Lord, we want to thank you because God, you know, in this year of Jubilee, we believe that there's so much potential. There's so much that you want to accomplish in and through our lives. That in this sanctuary alone, Lord, there's so much potential things. Some of us will go on to have very successful business. Some of us will be used by God to open up doors into mission fields. Some of us will be used to transform communities, change lives. God, there's so much potential here. And you are standing with your sword drawn, ready to perform those things. God, I pray that out of this congregation, there will arise men and women who are courageous, who are bold, and who will show up at the walls of Jericho. Sometimes, even without knowing all the answers beforehand, but they do know that you are the commander of the army of the Lord who will perform the promises. It is on you that we stand, not upon our own cleverness, our own strength. Father, many of us face different Jerichos in our lives, seeking breakthroughs. Father, today your word reminds us that you are ready. So the question is whether we are ready. Are we ready to meet you where our faith meets our Jericho? So Father, I pray that your Spirit will now, you know, etch these words into our hearts, Lord. That more than just hearing these things, that we will go out there and we'll begin to take hold of your promises for real, right? We'll go out this place and we'll do something. We'll not just sit and hear, but we'll be doers of the word. So, Lord, be with us. Stir up our own faith. Stir up our own courage. Stir up our spirits. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Will you stand with me? We'll sing this closing song. I have a destiny. I know I shall fulfill. I have a destiny. And I see on the hill, I have a destiny. It's not an empty wish, for I know I was born for such a time. You know, I hope you are ready to show up at your Jerichos. I hope you are ready, right? That when you go out from these very doors, that you will go to the place where God will meet you. Because God wants you to have that victory. God wants you to have that promise. Do you believe that? Okay, whatever that Jericho may be, an illness, a job situation, whatever it is, some of them may be great, some of them may be small. But here's the thing for you to do is to show up. And then remember all these other things that we just talked about, right? Show up and meet with God there. Amen? Amen? So God is going to do something great. Now I believe that, right? I think our sister has something to share with us.
Thank you, Pastor Daniel. I just sense that the Lord wants to touch a couple of people from different category. First, word of knowledge. A 56-year-old brother suffered from lymph nodes condition related to your neck. Second word, an 8-year-old boy named Charles seems to have multiple allergies and suffered from dyslexia. I just feel that the Lord wants to bring breakthrough to this boy. Next one, a 33-year-old brother experienced pain over the left side of your chest. Next one, I sense that the Lord wants to bring shalom, peace, into homes that desperately needs peace and harmony. I sense that the Lord wants to touch a 26-year-old boy who have done job hunting for about approximately 5 months and you haven't seen the breakthrough, and the Lord wants to assure you that He's going to grant you 2 job openings, and He just encouraged you to keep pressing in. Thank you.
Okay, let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness to us. Father, we want to be faithful to You, Lord. We do not want to be wavering, to be turning to the left, to the right. We do not want to be complaining. God, we want to be men and women of great faith, Lord, trusting You and obeying You. So, Lord, as we go from this place, Lord, we want to pray, Lord, that You fill us with Your spirit of boldness and of courage, Lord, that we will not run away from our giants, but we will conquer them, Lord. So, Father, as we go out now, may Your blessing go with each and every one of us, Lord, to perform Your promises in our life. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay? If some of you have those prayer needs that were mentioned, you can come up and someone will pray with you. God bless all of you. I'll see you back next week.